Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends. Want to start today with an apology. I totally miscalculated on last episode. I was looking at the clock and I had assumed that we were at the 15-minute mark, but we were closer to the 10-minute mark. So I'm sorry to mess up your day yesterday. You had all that extra time, those extra 4 minutes. So hey, consider that to be a gift from me. I gave you 4 minutes yesterday, and don't even have to send me a thank you note. But I promise you, we'll make up for it today. So we're in chapter number 17, as you know, and we're in verse number 23. David has arrived to the battle scene. He has saluted his brothers. And the Bible says in verse 23, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. So as David is having this conversation with his brothers, what's going on? He's being filled in. At that very moment, Goliath arrives, and the same speech he's given for 40 days, he gives again. The only difference between this scenario and the scenario that's played out every other day, there's only one difference. And the one difference is now David is hearing it. And the difference that one person can make, he's hearing the same information that thousands of others have heard, and yet it's going to be dramatically different now.
And I think how it is in life, how that God can, you know, one person with listening ears, with a faith in God, can pick up on something and react completely differently than people that have now heard this for many days. I think to some of them, it's just become kind of rote. This happens every single day. They're not really paying a lot of attention. They're still in fear. But David hears this. In my mind, when I think about David, how he responds, my mind goes to Hebrews chapter 4, where the writer talks about how that some people in the Old Testament believed and some did not. And he talked about those that believed were different because what they heard was mixed with faith. Mm. And they heard with faith. So David is not listening with closed ears to God. He's listening with the heart that's right with God. And so when he hears this, he hears, wow, this something should be done about this. What's going on here? And he has faith in God and not just listening to this man yelling out these insults and this challenge and walking in fear because of that.
And I think that's really the point, John, is that David is listening with ears that are attached to a heart that loves God. So he's sensitive to someone that's going to defy God. He's sensitive to someone that's going to speak ill of the God whom he knows, the God whom he loves, the God to whom he's written poems and songs, the God whom he has claimed is his shepherd. Now, somebody speaking against that God, he's going to hear it differently. You know, I could walk out in the middle of a crowd, and I could pick a random name and curse that name. You know, I curse Jane Doe, and the crowd might look at me like, he's a lunatic, what's his problem? But I'm going to tell you something. If the son of Jane Doe is in that crowd, he's going to hear it differently. He's going to hear that defiance in a personal way because he loves Jane Doe. Don't talk about my mom that way. And that's the heart of David. David, it's not that these men at the battlefield don't know who God is. It's not that they can't identify him academically. It's not even that that crowd wouldn't know who Jane Doe is. Oh yeah, isn't that the lady that lives down? But no, they don't have a heart for her. In this case, David is the one with a heart for God. And because he has a heart for God, he's hearing it differently.
I think it's a great illustration, Pastor, and it points out, you know, the personal aspect of a relationship with God, where David truly has just that. He has a relationship with God. His walk with God is not just about some religion. It's about a personal day-by-day walk with God. And so David takes this personally because this is against his God, the one whom he loves and adores and wants to worship. And it bothers him when other people curse his God.
Verse number 24, And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be to the man that killeth him. So David is hearing not only the defiance of God and his armies through a different set of ears, but now he's learning a little bit about what the incentive is that has been provided for the one that will stand up. I mean, David wants to stand up with no incentive, but now he's learning, and wait a minute, on top of all of this, there's an incentive for standing up for God, for doing what we're supposed to do.
And I think how Dave responds so differently, how the people talk about this Goliath is defying Israel. David realizes that's not ultimately what is happening. He realizes ultimately that to defy Israel is to defy God. And I love how David points out, it reminds me of Jonathan, where David, at the end of verse 26, points out, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And we talked about this concept before, how that Jonathan realized that the Philistines were not part of God's people. They're not part of God's covenant. And David realizes that same thing. And he emphasizes what Jonathan did. You know, this is not a matter of just people against people. This is a matter against the people of God. And now we have this uncircumcised person who's not even part of the family of God, hates God. And somebody must realize what is at stake here. It's more than him just calling out Israel. He's calling out our God. Somebody must realize what's going on. And yes, Saul's offered this reward. I think David is unbelievable that somebody is not stepping forth to do something about this.
Earlier in the chapter, we read the description provided by the author of Goliath. We read about his size. We read about his equipment. We read about how intimidating he was, the size of his weaponry. That's the way the people of God saw him. They saw him through that lens. They saw him through his resources. They saw him through his size. They saw him through his skill as a champion. They saw him as intimidating. But David had a heart for God. So because David had a heart for God, he heard it differently. And because he had a heart for God, he saw it differently. He didn't see him as the great champion with a weaver's beam size spear. No, he saw him as an uncircumcised Philistine. So when we use the word uncircumcised, that was a pejorative term that Israelites would apply to others to say, they have not entered into covenant with our God. These are people that don't know God. What does this person who doesn't know God, therefore doesn't have the promises of God, therefore is not empowered by God, what does this godless person, why are you intimidated by this godless, why are we who are full of God and have God on our side intimidated by this godless person? To me, these are words of incredulity. As David says, this makes no sense. Why? David is looking at his problem through the lens of his God. He's not looking at God through the lens of his problem.
And I think what a difference it is in our lives today, even how that if we look at God aright, it will put everything else in the proper perspective. And I think of Vance Havner, who many years ago said, when you walk with the Almighty, human potentates are small potatoes. I think what a good thought that is. And that's how David viewed this. He walked with God. He saw God for who God is. And so seeing Goliath did not make him shake in his boots because he trusted in the Almighty.
Verse 28. So the people have brought David up to speed about who Goliath is, what the incentive would be for killing him. But then Eliab pipes up in verse number 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? And I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. I know your pride. I know your heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." So again, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but Eliab disdains David. And part of that might be the fact that he was overlooked. Part of that might be the fact that David now has had opportunities to serve Saul as an armor bearer, as the musician. He's only recently come home. But whatever's driving that, we can say irrefutably that Eliab's reaction is wrong.
And I think here how David has pointed out the fact that this is against God. And you're right, we don't know all that's going on in Eliab's heart, but Eliab just really chews David out. The older brother looking down at his younger brother, he just lets him have it. He judges his motives. He tells him basically he's wicked in his heart. And so Eliab really just jumps all over David's case, so to speak, because Eliab is upset with David. And I think in great degree because David is living a life that focuses upon God. And I really don't think personally that's where Eliab is at in his life.
Well, think about a couple things. Who are the prime candidates to fight Goliath? I think the first and obvious one is Saul. He stands head and shoulders above. But maybe he's aging, and maybe people look at him as he's not in his prime. I don't know. But you can certainly say that Eliab. Remember, the Bible says that when Samuel saw Eliab, he was immediately convinced, this has to be the next king. Look at him. Look at how big he is. Look at how broad he is. This is the guy. So when Eliab says to David, "David, you're proud. You're full of yourself. I know your heart." It's really just a smokescreen for Eliab's own fear. I mean, Eliab, why aren't you out there standing? Eliab, why aren't you jealous for the reputation of God? Eliab, you are not a man that has a heart for God. Therefore, you're not somebody that knows the heart of others. And if anything, you're revealing your own latent fear in your own life.
You know, I think of how Eliab just really focused upon emotion, ad hominem arguments, you know, just really jumping all over David here. It reminds me to a great degree of how the Jews treated Jesus. When Jesus is speaking with him in the Gospel of John, and they really cannot overcome what Jesus is saying with logic. So they revert to say, "Said we not well, thou hast a devil," and how they just attack Jesus emotionally. And that is exactly what Eliab is doing. He's given an emotional attack against David that has nothing to do with fact. It's just what's in Eliab's heart coming out.
David said to Eliab, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And that's a famous sermon title, "Is There Not a Cause?" And people relate that to, hey, I'm here because there's a cause here that needs to be solved. And somebody needs to go out there and fight that giant, win this battle. John, what is your take on his question, "Is there not a cause?"
You know, I think, Pastor, he's responding to what Eliab has just said. Eliab has just accused him of coming down. "You have a wicked heart. You know, you just want to insert yourself. You know, who do you think you are, David?" So that is what David's responding to immediately. And so it would make great sense in their exact context. He's just saying, "I'm not at all guilty of what you talked to me about, Eliab.
I didn't choose to come. Dad sent me."
Right, exactly.
I mean, isn't there a matter here that, I mean, I'm doing, all of this has just been a matter of obedience. So again, not to say that that's not a good title for a message, and not to say that David didn't have a great cause. He certainly did. But I think we need to be careful when we preach the Bible to make sure that we're not wresting meaning away from what the meaning is. So maybe just a little bit of a pet peeve there, but that I appreciate your explanation. Verse 30. Well, you know what? Let's stop there just for sake of time. And let's look at how David continued to think about, consider, and ultimately act upon the situation that he was confronted with. So I hope you have a good day. Thanks for tuning in as always. Look forward to getting back with you next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.